Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I congratulated that young lady from the spelling bee and called her the champ when she was. I'm so disappointed that I don't know any of those words. But we'll see if Shane Summers knows any of the words later on. Another champ is now in studio. Megan Anderson, the Invicta 145-pound champ. I'm just going to tell you, you should follow her on Twitter, MEGANA_MMA, MEGANA_MMA, also on, is that the same handle on Instagram?
Yes, okay. It is.
Same handle on Instagram. And so how long, for people that don't know, by the way, there's been a lot of talk that you could fight Chris Cyborg, who was recognized as one of, if not the best pound for pound female fighters in MMA. You could tell me what you think. But we've been talking about this. You've been on the show several times. But boy, it's been really heating up on Twitter, going back and forth. And see, from my perspective, like, I know you fairly well. I don't know her, but I can't ever tell if there's like real animosity between you two and you guys are going back and forth and you don't like each other, or you respect each other and you're just trying to do what you got to do to get the fight made, or if it's like different on a different day. So like, how would you describe your relationship and how you feel about Chris Cyborg, the person that you might fight in a huge fight?
We have mutual respect. It's actually her boyfriend / manager Ray who runs her social media accounts. So a lot of the stuff that you see is him.
So him tweeting.
Yeah,
he causes
a lot of stirring the pot. But
and that's you too. You're tweeting out of your account. Yeah. That's your account. You're tweeting, but now that's him.
Yeah.
And so he's stirring the pot.
Yeah.
So give us an example, like, of something that they've tweeted or he's tweeted at you that's irritated you or got you to reply, or like how does this go?
I just kind of, if they try and, I guess, as the kids say, throw shade.
Yeah. Hey.
Throw shade at me.
That's exactly right.
I just come back straight away. Like, it doesn't really bother me anymore. I know where I stand and I know what I've said. So they're obviously going to spin it so that they're in a good light, but it's not going to work with me. It doesn't affect me like it would somebody else.
You know, the kids say it. Jake also says it. So he says throw shade. So he was like, give you a big thumbs up. Is that right?
Yeah.
Proper context?
You always have, I mean, you got to wonder where the shade's coming from.
Right.
Like, you know, you say, it's not really Cyborg. It's coming from her manager. So the shade's coming from her manager.
Where the hell is this shade coming from?
They're throwing shade.
Okay, so for people that don't know the entire process, so you're the Invicta 145-pound champ.
Yes.
And so for the UFC, they have the 145-pound division, but they kind of really don't. So, like, right? I mean,
well, they have like one person now.
Okay.
Like, Holly Holm's next fight is at 135, and Jermaine Durandamy just announced that she's not going to stay at 145. So she's at one. She's going to drop back down to bantamweight.
And those are the two that fought for the 145-pound title, but they're not true 145-pounders.
Yes.
Okay.
And so they technically only have one 145-pounder. So I really don't think that there is a featherweight division in the UFC.
And so, but Cyborg is a big name in MMA circles, and a fairly big name even outside of MMA circles for people that are maybe casual fans. And so we've seen her quite a bit, and she's looked upon as, like I said, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters. And so you would think that they're trying to build this division around her and find good opponents for her. And I don't know, you tell me, are they concerned about putting her in with someone that could actually beat her? Are they trying to protect her? Or are they willing to actually put someone in there and create some good matches, some good fights?
I really just think that they have no idea what they're doing with the division. The fact that they haven't signed anybody else that can make featherweight, that can only make featherweight, is testament to the fact that they have no idea what what to do with the division. So I don't think it's lack of wanting to put on good matches or good fights. It's more of like they just don't know what to do afterwards.
Okay,
because you have a signed fighter that's fight her, whether they win or lose, like what do you do next?
Right.
You've got nobody else.
So for you, okay, so you fight for Invicta and you're the 145-pound champ, whether it's her boyfriend or her, she's been on Twitter and she says that you're a very credible opponent. She wants to fight you. She considers you number three in the world. She says she's number one in the world. So number one versus number three will be a great fight. And so it appears like she's campaigning for the fight. If there was an offer, would you say yes to fight her next? Would you want to fight her?
Yeah.
Okay. And so then what's holding it up? What's preventing this fight from happening?
The UFC.
Dana White, and they just don't, like, why do you think?
I don't know.
Because it would be a really good fight.
I really don't know.
And people would be interested in it.
Yeah.
And you could throw it on a pay-per-view as part of a card, and I think it would get a lot of attraction. Yeah. I think it would get a lot of attention. Yeah. And I think people that pay attention would be geeked up for the fight.
Yeah.
And so then I guess I don't understand. They have her, she's got some name power that they haven't utilized. So I don't, maybe I don't understand why they wouldn't want this to happen.
I have no idea. Probably like 2 weeks ago, we spoke with Sean Shelby, who's a matchmaker for UFC, and he told us that fight's not happening right now. So I think they're just figuring out what to do with the division.
Okay.
What to do with her.
So for Invicta, though, you have a fight that you're signed coming up.
Yes.
Okay, so when's that going to be?
That is July 15 here in Kansas City at the Scottish Rite Temple.
And do you know the opponent?
I do.
Okay.
Her name is Helena Kolesnik.
Right.
I think.
Hey, look, if you're looking for someone to correct you, it ain't happening here. We're just like, yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
And so where's she from?
I think she's from the Ukraine.
What do you know about her?
She is a striker.
Right.
I guess. We've watched some footage on her. And all I can say is it's going to be a very long night for her, or short night, depending on what I want to do.
Right. Whoa. That's right. I like that. Okay, so that fight is looks like that's going to happen because nothing is imminent with UFC and with Cyborg. Yeah. So then what do you feel like your short-term and even long-term future is? Do you just stay in Invicta and continue to defend your belt? Are there other organizations that are coming after you? It's not just the UFC out there. Yep. So where are you at right now just besides this next defense that you have?
Well, I have a few fights left on my Invicta contract.
Okay.
So I'll obviously have to fight them out. But after that, you know, we'll have to reassess because we'll have to see what the UFC is doing. We'll have to see, you know, there's also Bellator who was starting to sign a lot of featherweights. So we'll have to assess our situation and go from there after that.
Bellator is signing a lot of name fighters.
Yes.
Roy Nelson just went over and signed there.
They got Lorenz Larkin.
Right. And so they're putting on some interesting pay-per-views with guys that we know and fighters that we know. And so you see they're building up their featherweight division.
Yep.
And so so that's a plus. And of course, Invicta, they have their featherweight division. And so at some point you would think UFC is going to follow suit, but
they're just not.
Right. They're just dragging their feet. So July 15th, it's June 2nd now. And you look, anyone that follows you on Twitter, and I made this comment to James, I feel like you never leave the gym. Like you're at the gym like 23 hours a day and you leave briefly to go have a sausage muffin at McDonald's. Because that's your deal. Isn't that your deal?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Yes.
So you're always, I feel like if I ask you like, when does training camp start? Does training camp ever end for you? Like when, like.
No, I guess it's just like an intensity and mindset. Because I'm in the gym all the time and I'm always trying to improve and get better. But I guess like at a certain point, I guess like around 5 or 6 weeks out, just the intensity kind of picks up a little. You have a little bit more purpose, a bit more focus behind your training. And I think that's about to I think this weekend. It's like 6 weeks out.
Right. So right
I'll,
now,
I'll probably start picking it up soon. Yeah.
Okay. And so then, will you? How much will you? Will you increase your sparring? Will you do it like besides the intensity and everything else? What are some of the things you'll do different in an actual training camp when you have a fight coming up?
It's like I don't really do anything differently. I guess it's more of like purposeful drilling, and making sure that, you know, we're game planning and I'm working on the things that we want to work on during the fight and just kind of get like a realistic look of what my opponent's going to be like and seeing how that goes during during camp so we can fine tune things.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out who split your lip because I saw it. We're going to find out because, you know, hey. Something you think it's easy, people think it's easy, just the actual fights sometimes are the easy part. It's the training camp and the sparring and everything else that'll wear you out. We've got the champ Megan Anderson in studio back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have the champ Megan Anderson in studio, and Megan, I apologize, Jake clearly trying to push his bone broth on you as soon as you walk in the studio. Hey, you know,
I did not bring it up.
I had four knee surgeries, and now when I get there and run, I was just bound to leave, and now I feel great. And I was like,
now you're throwing shade.
No, it's just like he's got this infomercial like down pat.
I got feel nothing like, to gain by it.
I know that, but at some
I'm not
point,
selling the stuff.
I'm gonna get something to gain by it. I'm gonna put you on TV, and I'm gonna have you selling this stuff. And I'm going to be the PR machine behind it because he got this spiel.
I believe in it.
Right.
I believe in it.
Like, did he have you, be honest, were you convinced at all? Were you thinking this bone broth could be for me?
It was close.
Yeah. So, it was a convincing argument. He's like, now I feel great.
Well, it's delicious, too.
Wow.
He's very salesman-like.
He is. He's an excellent salesman. Okay, so let's, July 15th at the Scottish Rite Temple. To defend your Invicta championship, and then after that, and that's the other thing I asked you too. No matter what happens, whether you stay in Invicta, you know, Bellator could be in your future, UFC, you feel strongly about staying in Kansas City and training here with your home base of James Krause and Glory MMA and Fitness, because sometimes fighters will move,
and
that will not work out for them because they leave behind a good thing. I've seen that happen many times, but it seems like you're grounded here and you feel like you have a good thing that is doing nothing but helping your career, right?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to stay here in Kansas City. I actually go up to Denver, Colorado, like every now and then when I'm in fight camp just for like a week and stuff like that. There's a James goes up there too.
Does the high altitude help you? Is that part of the training, or does that make any difference?
It's more of like for the coach and the training, so I'm actually about to go up next week for a week, and then I'll be back down to finish out the rest of my camp.
So who do you train with up there?
I train up at Factory X.
Okay.
And with Mark Montoya
right
up there. So they have a lot of high-level guys, and he's a really, really great coach. And him and James work really well together, so...
Who's some of the people that you work with up there that also train there that we might know?
Brian Camozzi, Chris Camozzi, those type of guys.
Right. Well, Chris just tweeted out that he's a free agent as well. So.
Yes,
see?
He did.
Names out there.
Free agents all around.
That's right. And for people that that don't understand the business, like when you are a free agent or you talk about, you know, fighting out your contract, is this all you talking to everyone and dealing with this and handling your contract? Do you have someone that helps you do this, like a business manager? Like, how do you handle this? Because this is obviously your career. Yeah. You want to be hands-on, but like, how do you go through all these different negotiations and things?
Well, most people at the top level have a management company that kind of deals with that kind of for you. They all do the behind the scenes, see what offers are coming in and that kind of stuff. But I think... like some of the low-level people, they might not, but definitely like myself and Chris and James, we all have a management company that does that for us.
How often do you keep in contact with them, or how often are you involved with what they're looking at and what's going on?
Every company's different. I know with mine, they're very hands-on, and like I will either speak to them every day, if not every 2 or 3 days. They're always keeping me in the loop with what's going on, which I like. And they don't... like, they don't kind of tell me anything I don't need to know. So if you have something in the works that it might not happen, they would rather not tell me than get my hopes up.
Right.
And then it not fall through. So they're very realistic, and I really like what they do. And they have a lot of the high-level guys. Like, my management company works with Connor.
Oh, really?
I know you've been talking about him a lot.
Yeah, I like that.
So a lot of those guys, they have.
I need a management company, because that's basically my whole life, a series of getting my hopes up and disappointment after disappointment, things I shouldn't know about. So before we run out of time, I want to ask you about the fights on Saturday night. Who do you think is going to win between Claudia Gadelha and Karolina Kowalkiewicz?
Oh, I think this is a really tough fight. I think if Karolina can stop the takedown, she'll win. But Claudia's ground game and her wrestling game is, like, it's amazing. But I think Karolina's going to get it.
That's the correct answer, because Claudia canceled her spot on our show earlier this week. So we picked Karolina, right?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thumbs down to her.
What about the, and we researched and everything. What about the main event, Jose Aldo and Max Holloway?
I actually have Max Holloway.
Did James pick Max?
I think James did.
So why? Why do you pick Max?
Well, I think he's just, like, a lot of people say, like, Jose Aldo's this great legend, and, like, Max Holloway's never fought any of the top guys. Like, that's cool, but he's demolishing people. Like, his mentality, his mindset is at a different level, and I think he's going to prove that on Saturday night, that he's the best at the 145 division.
Do you think the fight is going to be as good as everyone hopes that it is? Because everyone thinks this is going to be one of the best fights of the year.
I think it's going to be really exciting. They're both very exciting fights.
Yeah, when are either one of those guys in bad fights?
Never.
Right. And so, but sometimes you put those together and your expectations aren't met. But I think we'll see a great fight.
I think it's going to be fireworks. I'm excited.
And so, so before we're out of time, again, July 15th.
Yes.
And we're all good to go there. And so we're going to be there. We're going to go out and watch the fight.
Yes.
Jake, and we can promise you that he will not bring any bone broth in China.
I can't promise you that.
Well, I mean, you know, he's going to be out there hawking it to the fighters.
Never know what's
like
in
that.
My
you
mug.
Need to watch that. But we appreciate you coming in studio, and we're excited for your next fight. And now that changes everything, now that I know it's not Cyborg tweeting everything out.
I know.
It's her jerk boyfriend. I'm sorry.
I feel like I just, like, killed your hopes and dreams.
No, it's like, you know what? You showed me behind the
curtain. You got a new villain.
That's right. No, like, this makes me like her even less. Right. People need to know
that.
Can't
talk smack for herself.
And you are talking for yourself. No one's tweeting for you. You don't have a management company or a professional tweeter. You're out there. That's you, right?
Yes.
All right. See, you're Kansas City's champ. That is, and tell people again your handle on Twitter and Instagram so
it
we can follow you.
It is MeganA_MMA.
That's right, on Instagram and Twitter. That is Megan Anderson, the 145-pound champ in Invicta. July 15th is her next fight. We'll have her on before then to talk all about it. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.